All right, I'm recording on both now.
I'm recording. Go ahead and do your clap.
All right, 3, 2, 1. So, how's it been, man?
Tired, man. It's Monday.
I hear you. Well, technically, it's Tuesday.
Oh yeah, fuck. Yeah,
that's all right. I think people are well aware that this show is usually
recorded the day before.
The day before. It didn't used to be. Me and you used to wake up bright and early every morning when you were in the central time zone.
No, I was in the Eastern time zone.
Oh yeah, we were both in the Eastern time zone. Mm-hmm. It really truly was. I kind of miss that.
Oh yeah, sometimes. It's definitely ideal. Like, I prefer that easily over what we do now currently, just because it's, I don't know, feels more real. Not just it feels more real, it's just like you wake up, you get your coffee, you have your breakfast, then you hop onto this. It's just nice. It's a nice way to start the day.
It was. But since I didn't get to talk to you about your weekend, how was your weekend?
Fine. Nothing special. Well, basically, my wife has been in recovery mode ever since the week before, so we really didn't do anything.
Yeah. That's cool. Did you watch anything new, or
did we revisit any classics? What did we do? We watched, what the hell did we watch? No, we just revisited classics, actually. We watched Mission Impossible 1 and 4. One, because I hadn't seen it since, like, the 90s. And four, because that's the most fun one, in my opinion, compared to the others. Like, I like them. I think what I really enjoyed about Mission Impossible franchise for most of the movies up until recently was that each one was a very unique movie, and they had filmmakers, like, really pretty great filmmakers doing their own take on a specific thing. You had Brian De Palma from the first one really establishing sort of like a slow but sort of engaging, I don't know, paranoid thriller type thing. Then the second one, you have a goofy action movie with John Woo. The third one, you kind of bring it back, like a groundedness to it, but also helps make it a bit more mainstream with J.J. Abrams. With four, I think you brought in sort of a lighthearted goofiness, like a jokey aspect that wasn't there before. And then the fifth one, you brought in a bit more practicality with Chris McQuarrie. He took away a little bit of the comedy. They still kind of kept that comedic edge. And then the Fallout, he basically brought that same stuff. So I guess as much as Fallout is great, it's kind of disappointing for me that we didn't get like a different director to help sort of continue that tradition of someone bringing something new into an existing franchise.
So you're not as ecstatic as Nick is that
I don't think
McQuarrie's sticking around for a couple more?
I don't think anyone is as ecstatic as Nick is about that franchise, period. It's a great franchise, but man, he is just like all about it. He's just, no one, it's impossible for anyone to be as excited about Christopher McQuarrie sticking around than he is. Impossible.
Well, I saw the first two when they came out, and I stopped because two was just terrible. And, it left a bad taste in my mouth for multiple reasons besides the movie itself not being that great, the controversies surrounding Metallica, Napster, and all of that as a computer enthusiast as I am, like, some of that was upsetting, and I never got into it. I heard three is okay, that it's kind of important to watch to get into the rest of it, but I'm
it was kind of boring.
4, 5, and 6 are like awesome.
Yeah, 4, 5, and 6 I think are the movies at their peak. Yeah, I like them a lot. I think 4, 5, and 6 are definitely the best ones. 3 I think is kind of boring. It has some great filmmaking aspects to it, but I think it's just kind of, it has a good villain. Philip Seymour Hoffman plays the villain. But I don't know, something about it, it's so serious. It's so serious, man. And I guess the first one was pretty serious too. But it was more serious in an engaging way and not super boring. I don't know. That's just me, obviously. I don't know. The second half of the franchise is by far better than the first half of the franchise, in my opinion.
I need to get on it right now. As I've just discussed before, Christine and I are on a Buffy the Vampire Slayer kick, and we spend all of our free TV time that's not occupied by family-friendly cooking shows or my son playing games watching that. We're on season 7.
Well, really quick, before you jump into more Buffy, I do want to say, I just start with 4, because the reality is there's not much, like, who cares about the continuing plot between the two? It's like always a lot of space in between them, and things are always changing. You have different people almost every single time. Other than
so him. I don't need to watch 3.
No, you don't need to watch any of them to enjoy any of them. Like, they'll hint at, they'll basically have all the information you need. And to be honest, after having watched all of them, I always feel like I'm completely lost when it comes to the overarching plot anyway, because there's so much space and things between them. And you care so little about the characters in it, or at least I do, that it's irrelevant. It really doesn't matter that much, because there are no character arcs. It literally is just plot.
Okay, so I could get away with starting off with 4.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fun. Brad Bird directed that one. So he brought a little bit of, I guess, wouldn't say any animation stuff, but I think he brought in this idea that you want to have character-based fights and not just fights for fight's sake. It's like every single one is they're really creative little fights, the way they're handled and how they move the plot forward and help develop the characters a bit in the process.
That's a little easier task to take on, 3 movies instead of 4.
Yeah. And they don't, there's no ongoing plot. Like, there really isn't. They're just standalone things. So I don't even think you need to feel pressure to, like, oh, I need to watch this one, and then this one, and then this one. I'm like, just watch it. If you enjoy it, great. Revisit it, another one, in like a few months and get back to it then. Like, there's no, it's not like Star Wars where you're following like an overall story. At least in my opinion, I'm sure there's someone out there. I'm sure Nick is like saying, no, there's such an overarching plot that I'm just not seeing. But yeah, that's my opinion at least.
You're missing the geniusness set deep within.
Yeah.
But you gotta watch the commentary to understand it, because they explain. Yeah, no.
Yeah, and every single movie, well, not every single, I think like 4 of the 6, I don't even remember what Fallout was, like, they are like disavowed every single time. And basically it's like, oh, you are now disavowed. You don't have any more of the resources of the, what is it called, the IMF, so you have to go on your own. And it's every fucking time. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Every single time. They need to get their shit together over there.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we'll be looking for something to finish up after Buffy. We're on season 7, the last season. Oh, okay. Episodes we like to watch new stuff, but one of my favorite things to do is to show Christine things that she's never seen but I've seen that I enjoyed, stuff that either her parents weren't necessarily into, or things that they just wouldn't let her watch because she wasn't grown up and it just never was on her radar after the fact. Like, I've had a great time the last couple years. One of the bright spots in my deteriorating health is I'm still able to watch, you know, TV and movies sometimes with a headache, but that blue light filter glasses was beneficial. I forgot to tell you that, as far as viewing TV and movies. And it's a little weird looking at first. But yeah. But
so when did you get those?
Last week.
Okay. Okay. So it was basically pretty close to after I told you about them.
Yeah. My still using my brain hurts. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I need to see neurology again. Cause like I told you, I've had some sleep issues. I was doing this weird thing where I was like, staying up all night for two or three nights and then sleeping all day, for a day or two to get caught up. Over the weekend, I slept and just no matter how much sleep I got, it just didn't seem like it was enough. But anyways, I've enjoyed doing that, showing Christine things that she had never seen before. During Halloween time, during October, it was all horror movies. I showed her stuff like Bram Stoker's Dracula, Lost Boys, things that she had never gotten to see before. She had never seen Alien or Aliens. We didn't watch Alien 3, mm-hmm. but...
good. It's better left unseen anyway.
Yeah. I want to read the comic, the what if comic, if it had been done the other way, like another script was written or something. There was some sort of drama behind Alien 3, and they turned what could have been into a comic. And I actually do want to pick that up in trade and check that out. Did you and your wife, even before, because you've had a long term relationship with her before you got married, did you get to do anything like that, show her things she hadn't seen before?
Yeah, so many things. I couldn't even start to think about it. I mean, honestly, I think it was through me that she got introduced to like the Marvel movies in general. She wasn't into them. And it was, that was like one of our first things that we bonded over were those, because I got to force her, but I got to show her all of those movies. Yeah. And I'm really proud because I got her to start understanding story structure and all of that. And I've effectively ruined movies and not even movies, but books for her as well. She's like, I hate you. I'm like, why?
If they're not well written enough.
No, not even that. She's like, something. She was just like, it's like, I was reading a book and I was like, oh, this is the end of the second act. And I was like, fuck you. Yeah. Like, she would basically like just start thinking about the different acts, how they're broken down, the motivations of the characters, and blah 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 blah, all the stuff. Not that they're bad, but just that she notices them now.
Yeah,
because that's for me. Like, I don't like it when people go like, "Oh, it's ruined because everything is bad now." I'm like, I don't really think that way. I just think of more of like, it's nice to sort of see the structural underpinnings of something and to see like why things are done a certain way. And that's why it's always, this is really weird, I fucking love watching Disney Channel original movies, because they are great with the structure. They're like so ham-fisted in your face, but then they're also really weird, like Smart House. I think the third act is like 5 minutes. It's really weird, just how that whole thing works, where it's like, yes, it works, but there are some really weird instances where they have, I don't know, just lopsided act structures or lopsided things. And it's just really rewarding. Go like, okay, that's halfway. And I look at the little timeline. I'm like, yep, exactly halfway. I'm like, okay, that is the end of the second act. And it's almost spot on most of the time. So if you want to learn quickly about structure, you should watch a shit ton of Disney Channel original movies, because they're really short and they're usually pretty spot on. And you can get them all on Disney Plus. And they're not cinema, don't get me wrong. They're not like, oh my god, this is amazing, but you know,
yeah,
they're light and fun and silly.
I never got into any of those that I can remember.
That was my childhood.
My sister and I were more Nickelodeon kids than anything, as far as like Disney versus Nickelodeon.
I think the longest time, and there was definitely a stage where I was more Disney than Nick, but I'm like, I definitely watched like, you know, like Rugrats and Doug and Hey Arnold and stuff.
I hated Doug. Yeah. Did you actually like it?
Yeah.
Like, look forward to watching it every day?
I mean, I don't know about like, oh, I can't wait for Doug. It wasn't like that. It was more of just like, okay, it's on.
What was your favorite Nicktoon?
Probably for the longest time, it definitely was Rugrats. And then Hey Arnold was Nick, right? That's Nick. Yeah. Hey Arnold, I think is probably my favorite. Yeah.
You know what ended up?
Actually, no, I was mixing it up with Cartoon Network for a second. Go ahead.
What ended up being one of my favorite shows from Nickelodeon, even though I was a little bit older when it hit, the Fairly Odd Parents.
Oh yeah,
did you get into that one?
No, I was out of Nickelodeon by that point.
I like the humor style, and it's another one of those shows that's got some adult stuff in it. Kind of like Dexter's Lab over on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
And a lot of built-in meta and reference humor that I thoroughly enjoyed. Haven't been able to get my son into it, which is disappointing and sad, but I guess
you should get a new kid. Yeah, he's broken.
He's broken. At least he likes the Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters and Power Rangers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So kids TV today is completely different than what it used to be, though.
Yeah,
you know, we used to have the family friendly prime time television blocks like TGIF. I don't remember which network that was on.
That was ABC.
And then of course we used to actually have Saturday morning cartoons that used to be a thing, and then of course after school cartoons.
Toonami. Then you had the Block Party on Disney, which was early mid 1990s. Those were great. Yeah, it's completely different now. You kind of have to search out each of the things. I mean, if you don't have cable, you have to search it out at least.
Yeah. And I don't, other than adult cartoons on like Fox, I don't even know if any of the broadcast shows do cartoons anymore. Like,
I mean, for kids. Disney does. I mean,
like on ABC.
Oh, you mean like the network broadcast shows?
Yeah,
right.
I don't think they do either.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's all moved online. Like, it's all like they have YouTube channels, and of course streaming stuff. Yeah, I think it's all animations mostly moved to online into occasional adult cartoons, obviously, but then occasional other things.
And the cable channels themselves, your 24-hour Cartoon Network, Disney, Disney XD, and stuff like that. But kids today, it's on the one hand, it's like a blessing because the content is available at all times. Yeah, so it's not just the blessing with all the available content, but it's also like a bad thing because we're missing out. I remember, you know, like I was saying earlier, the family friendly primetime block, everybody getting around to watch their favorite shows as a family, and then of course the after school stuff was a big deal with friends, because like some friends didn't necessarily have cable, so if they wanted to watch Toonami and Dragon Ball Z, they came over to your house, or you went over to their house, depending on the situation. And there was a little bit of socializing that I think kids today kind of miss out on.
Does that make sense? You don't think they have the same thing with like who has, I don't know, Netflix or Disney Plus or anything?
I think streaming services are so much more prolific. Is that the word?
Prevalent.
Word I'm looking for? Prevalent. Thank you. Than having satellite or cable packages were at the same time. I don't know. Maybe. I remember. I have fond memories of bonding over TV shows after school or Saturday morning, and then after the block of whatever shows over, going to either go play video games or go out and play and stuff like that. I don't know. We live in such an interesting time with access to so much content, but so much of it kind of is almost antisocial because you consume it on your own and then talk. You do talk about it later, but even then you're talking about it online, via text messages or forums and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you have any friendships?
I don't have any friends. No.
did you have any friendships that grew out of a bond over a specific property or
properties? Yeah, actually, absolutely. So I have a bunch of friends who mostly anime, to be honest, and mostly online, and I grew to know them through podcasting and through other various websites, specifically One Piece related, and yeah, they're some great friends. So yeah, definitely. At least I was actually I'm trying to remember what my role was specifically, but I was at the wedding of one of the guys I met through a podcast. So yeah, that's cool. Definitely that's something that came about through, you know, the love of anime, which is all online at this point.
But My core group of friends from high school, a few of which maintained a good friendship all the way through to today, came about. I went to one of my when we first moved to Fort Campbell, I went to one of the dances, not like the prom or homecoming, just one of those, like, it's some event, but it wasn't homecoming or prom. It was a casual dance, so everybody was wearing like blue jeans and t-shirts and stuff like that. And I happened to go all but by myself just to try to socialize, you know, make some friends. And I happened to see a guy wearing, do you remember in the late 90s, early 2000s, the style of the button-up shirts with like, they were like silk type material, but they would either have like geek culture stuff on them, or it'd be like a flame design or something like that.
And probably very.
And they
baggy.
Were always button up. What was that?
Were they really baggy?
They were bigger on people usually. Yeah. But one of them was wearing a Spider-Man and Venom shirt. Just went over and started talking and bonded over comic books and. It's interesting with geek culture today being so widely accepted versus when we were younger. It was easier in high school to be into geek culture and not get ridiculed as much, but like elementary and middle school definitely took a social beating for reading Star Wars novels and stuff during free time in school. But I think, like my sister said on that podcast we did the other day, which everybody should check out, we did this whole kind of look at female heroes past and present. And my sister mentioned how people raising kids today are raising them to be more accepting of that geek and pop culture thing. And that's why you have a movie like Avengers Endgame being the most money making movie ever.
Yeah.
Cause it is so much more widely acceptable. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely more acceptable nowadays than ever before. And I wasn't really, you know, I'm curious growing up, cause I wasn't really like, I wasn't picked on or anything. I'm not sure why. I should have been. In retrospect, like looking back,
I'll make up for it.
I guess if I'm looking back, I'm like, I feel like I should have been, considering what I was interested in. But yeah, I have no idea how that worked out for me. But yeah, well, yeah,
it depended on the schools. When I went to on-base schools, the community's completely different than off-base schools, and it also depends on the school district, how many military kids are going to that off-base school. My upbringing is all strange.
Yeah, but it's high very school, unique. I just went through to a standard, you know, high school. We had like 4,000 kids, and
jeez,
yeah, it was pretty big. pretty diverse.
I finished up 2.5 years, the last two and a half years of high school, I finished at Fort Campbell High. My graduating class was like 98.
And, good God, that's tiny.
Yeah, out of that, we graduated in 03. And out of my entire graduating class, there was only like four or five of us that had our military parent there because the Iraq war had just kicked off. But they broadcast our graduation to Iraq, so a lot of the fathers and mothers could still get to see their kids graduate, which was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. But anyways, it's been fun reminiscing and talking about old stuff, and I kind of like it sometimes when we do these shows, you know, when we're not necessarily all news heavy and
stuff. Well, yeah, yesterday was MLK, so... You know, MLK had like no news. Well, it had some news. Actually, it's a lie. It did have some news, but nothing that was fun talking about either way.
Yeah, Brian and I think we did an okay job talking about the Obi-Wan Kenobi situation, and had an interesting conversation about what it's like. I wish you had been able to be a part of it, because you've been in this journalism business a hell of a lot longer than I have.
Well, really quick, I will say this before regarding that, that as of right now, it looks like this all kind of spawned from the idea where there are concerns with filming in Australia because of the fires, and that they're trying to figure something out. And one thing they were looking at was delaying it.
Ah.
That's what I've been hearing.
The reason why I would have liked to have had you on is the whole idea of covering rumors and journalistic integrity and making sure that you don't sensationalize titles, that you properly label stuff and you put everything into context, which I think LRM does a pretty damn good job at.
We try.
We try. So it was a fun conversation. So you guys should definitely check out that conversation with Brian and I from yesterday. But yeah, man, it's been fun talking to you again. Looking forward to doing it again tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So everybody, make sure you're checking out LRM online.com every single day for all your entertainment news needs. The YouTube channel, lots of great stuff there. And of course, the LRM online podcast network, wherever you get your shows from. Lots of great stuff. Thank you guys so much for listening. Jammer, where can people find you at online?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter and all of my stuff at lrmonline.com.
And you guys can find me at ThatCom1 on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.